Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews, and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
Welcome again, listeners, to another exciting episode of Zed Games, Australia's most beloved gamer radio program. We are coming to you live from the back of a van involved in a high-speed chase down the streets of Los Santos. Who is driving this vehicle? You there, you with the glasses.
That's me.
Razor, a wheel man.
I'm the getaway man.
You are the getaway man. Right, our point lady, Ms. Candy Payne.
That's me. Hi, everyone.
There she is. Look at her. Firing a machine gun out the window.
You can't look at me. I'm on radio.
Well, listen to her.
Listen to me.
Look at her and I'll describe her. She's all right.
thanks, man.
Yeah. And giggling in the corner there is our strategist, Mr. Jody McGregor.
Hi, Lee.
Hi, Jody.
You're all screwed if I'm the strategist.
Yeah. Well, we are in a high-speed chase at the moment. Everything has gone wrong. Why am I talking about high-speed chases down Los Santos?
Well, it has to do with something called Grand Theft Auto V, which came out last week.
Yes.
And oh boy, have I been playing it.
Have you?
Who else has been playing it?
Me.
We're going to be going back through the history books of the Grand Theft Auto universe. It all started back in the 90s with a game called Grand Theft Auto. We'll be explaining exactly what it is about the series that made it so important to the landscape of gaming.
This is Zed Games News, bringing you gaming news headlines from Australia and around the world.
Former Nintendo president Hiroshi Yamauchi has died at aged 85. Running the company from 1949 until 2002, Yamauchi was responsible for transforming the company from a manufacturer of playing cards into the global video game company it is today. Yamauchi oversaw the launch of every Nintendo console from the original Game & Watch devices to the GameCube. It was Yamauchi who, in 1977, saw promise in a young designer named Shigeru Miyamoto and hired him. Miyamoto would go on to create Donkey Kong, Mario and The Legend of Zelda, properties that would define the modern era of video games.
Oh, yeah, that's sad
to start with.
1949, that's a long run.
Oh man, what a run.
2002.
Valve, the developer behind Half-Life and Portal, has announced its own operating system to be called Steam OS. The operating system will be Linux-based and will function primarily to bring PC gaming to television sets and living rooms. The OS will be free and will be available soon, according to Valve.
This is the first of three announcements that they've said they're about to make. So I'm wondering if the other two will be related to this.
I assume that the third one will probably be released in about 2 or 3 years after the second, if at all.
In keeping with this episode's topic, Grand Theft Auto V has smashed sales records around the world. Released last week, the global launch saw sales of the game reaching $800 million in just 24 hours and hit the $1 billion mark in just 3 days, faster than any entertainment property in history. As a comparison, the fastest movie to gross $1 billion at the box office was last year's The Avengers, which got there in 19 days.
I reckon we could top that.
Like,
I don't know, if we sold our podcasts or something, we could make $1 billion in sales in one day.
Yeah, maybe.
Sure, man. You got good hopes.
Yeah, that's a crazy amount of freaking money, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
I thought that Black Ops 2 had big numbers when they hit, $1 billion in a couple of weeks or something. Mm. This is crazy. $1 billion in 3 days.
3 days.
Listening to Zed Games, and come with us now in our stolen Wayback Machine as we regale you with the history of the Grand Theft Auto series.
Yes, Lee, let's go back to the very beginning, back to 1997.
Indeed.
When the first game Grand Theft Auto came out for Windows and the PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any fond memories of that game, Lee?
Oh, I do. I do indeed. I never actually played, I think, a legitimate copy of this game.
Oh, well, that's very much in the spirit of the game.
Wasn't it just? I'm not sure it was even, like, physically available for me in any form at the time, but I remember that pirated copies were floating around my high school, and everyone was very, very excited about this rad game that could not be classified, that was just full of weird stuff and mayhem, and that we were all playing when our parents were not looking at us. Jody, you're an old man.
Yes.
In 1997, you would have been what, like 50?
58.
Yes.
I still have a copy on CD that I bought. It was pretty surprising because it came from DMA. They weren't Rockstar back then. They were the guys who'd made Lemmings.
Yep.
Which was the game that you were allowed to play at school because, you know, you weren't supposed to kill people in it, although we did. But from that to Grand Theft Auto, where you stole cars and ran people over and killed Hare Krishnas, was a bit of a leap. And in Britain, it was very controversial, and the Daily Mail went nuts for it. But in Australia, in 1997, people just didn't care. I remember Doom being like the thing of the day that, you know, shootings were blamed on. Nobody even noticed that we were playing Grand Theft Auto and doing pretty nasty stuff. But it was very old-fashioned in the way it looked. It was very blocky and top-down and 2D. And even by the standards of the day, it looked like an old and abstract game.
I also remember that it got critically panned when it was first released. I remember a lot of magazines are just like, this is terrible, it's ugly and dumb and you should not play it, and yet it became a major thing. I remember that was one of the first games where I sort of felt like, you know, the audience kind of knew what they were talking about, and maybe the people who were reviewing this hadn't quite worked out where the fun was.
Definitely, like you were saying about the pirate copies floating around, I first played Grand Theft Auto at a LAN party because it was one of those games that everyone would just hand you. You walked in the door and it would be like, here's a burnt copy of Grand Theft Auto, here's your copy of Age of Empires, here's your copy of StarCraft. Like, we were just churning them out in CD burners. And everybody would wind up with all of those games because those were the games that we all liked playing. They weren't always the best reviewed games.
This game really struck a chord with me because of the reason that people love the Grand Theft Auto series today. It's openness, it's freedom, the fact that there wasn't a strictly linear path, although there kind of was. You sort of picked up missions using the phone box and you did them, and in between missions you were free to explore the entire city and destroy or steal cars or kill pedestrians or whatever you want. That was really novel to me. As a young 15, 16-year-old guy, I used to have a bunch of friends that we used to meet up at the old ice cream parlor. And
you and Reggie and Veronica down at the chocolate shop.
It was a different age back then in the 90s.
This dates it way more than that mention of payphones did.
But anyway, we all were supposed to meet up every day after school to go there. And then one day I was missing.
Because Mr. Weatherby held you back.
Yeah, shut up, Lee. Mr. Weatherby's going to kick your ass soon. One day I was missing because I just a few days earlier I'd picked up a copy of Grand Theft Auto. Now, these friends of mine, they were very curious about where I was because I just disappeared without giving them any notice. So they actually turned up on my doorstep, and I had to admit then, of course, that I was playing Grand Theft Auto. After I showed them the game for about half an hour, one of my friends said, "Dude, I totally forgive you for not showing up at the ice cream parlor because this game rocks."
Well, Jughead understands you at least.
Anyway, that's the impact that it had on me. Let's move on to the sequel, Grand Theft Auto 2, which was released in 1999. Who played that?
I played a bit of it, yeah.
It wasn't much of an improvement over its predecessor.
It was set in the future, right?
Yeah.
The setting was the one thing that was different about it.
Yeah.
It was this weird cyberpunk American city that was torn by gangs. There were like Japanese corporations called Zaibatsu running the place, and you did jobs for different gangs. So if you did jobs for one gang, then the rival gang would hate you and they would come after you as well as the cops. And the gangs were like these redneck guys who had Confederate flags on top of their pickup trucks. And the Loonies were my favorite gang. They were escapees from the mental asylum who had taken over the asylum and the entire like city block around it. And their missions were just crazy stuff. They would be like, "We really want pizza. Go and get some pizza by robbing all of the city's pizza drivers and then bring the stolen pizza to us." It was very over the top.
The gang thing was probably the biggest thing that differentiated itself from the original. Apart from that, it was basically the same game. It had the same view. The graphics were slightly better, but there was still that overhead kind of sprite-based graphics.
Yeah, it reviewed quite badly again at the time because it wasn't much of an improvement. And it was also slowed down. I remember the first one on PC was insanely fast. If you jumped in the super fast sports cars, you needed quite well-developed twitch reflexes to actually not drive straight into a wall. And so the second one, they made all of the cars slower and easier to control, and I found it way less fun because I didn't crash enough.
Yeah,
I think it's a nice idea for them to take it in a different direction and take it into the future, but it also detracts from, I think, what was the initial appeal of the game was that it was, you know, this simulated traffic, really, was the only thing that was actually going on there. But it did feel like, at the time, this was a real vibrant place full of people who were going and doing things of their own. And suddenly you put that in, you know, Mega City 1, and it feels a lot more video gamey. It feels a lot less interesting to me.
Yeah, there were other open games set in the future. Yeah. There were sci-fi role-playing games, and there were plenty set in the past, but the idea of one set in the 20th century was what made Grand Theft Auto different.
Yep.
We skipped over one. We did skip over the London 1969 expansion for the first one, which was weird for the series in being set in London. It's the only one set outside of America, but the idea of setting it in the 60s kind of influenced, you know, doing games set in other decades. And it's just an expansion pack for the first Grand Theft Auto, so it looks and plays exactly the same. But the fact that it's set in London in the 60s and everyone talks like a Cockney geezer makes it incredible. There's this narration over the top when you do crazy stuff, like right at the start of every level it goes, Grand Theft Auto! And then you run over a bunch of mods in the street. There are gangs of mods walking around everywhere, and if you hit a whole gang of mods simultaneously goes, keep London tidy.
Oh my God.
So good.
I see.
I want to see that remade for now.
It was really good. I miss it. I wish they would go back to it. There was a whole mission chain where you got sent to steal a car that belonged to Endeavor Chambers, and his car was this Jag with a Union Jack on the top of it. It was Austin Powers' car.
Yep.
And you steal it, and then this message comes over the radio from Hans Nemesis, who's a straight-up Bond villain who has stolen an intercontinental ballistic missile. You've stolen a spy's car, and now you're the only person who can stop this guy from nuking London. You have to drive around the city being James Bond.
It's
nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Zed Games, and we are recapping the history of the Grand Theft Auto franchise.
Hello and welcome back to Zed Games. We're talking about the Grand Theft Auto series, and we are up to GTA 3, which came out... did we all play it on the PlayStation?
Oh, yeah. PlayStation 2.
No, just me?
No.
No, PlayStation. We played, all played on PlayStation 2.
Yeah, I know, I'm joking. Yeah.
Right. Okay, that was a good joke, Jody.
Thanks.
I don't get Jody's jokes. They're too complicated for me.
A lot of moving parts.
So that came out in 2001, and oh boy, on me personally...
Oh boy.
Oh boy, baby. Yeah, Grand Theft Auto 3 had such a profound impact on me and my perception of what games could be, because I had played the first two games, as I said earlier, and I kind of imagined a world in which a game like this might exist. Like, oh, imagine if they made it all 3D and it was all cool. But then to see the game running in front of me, it's like, holy crap, they've done it. I wasn't alone. It blew a lot of minds across the world.
Yeah, I distinctly remember when it came out on that day, a bunch of us piled into a car and drove out to our friend's house who had the PlayStation, and we, you know, just sat down and we played through it for hours. We're all just, everyone gathered around the TV to watch a video game being played. It was, that's kind of a weird cultural event that doesn't happen that often.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
And it was also a bit controversial as well, because a lot of people looked at it and thought, hey, wait, this is a game, but it's violent and it's for adults. What's going on here?
It's a murder simulator.
What about the kids? So we had this sort of little uproar where all of a sudden people realized that games weren't for kids anymore.
What's interesting about GTA 3 also is that it had two releases. The first release came out, and then I think it was taken off the shelves about a month into
maybe not even a month, because I remember, like, the one friend of mine who had bought it before it was taken off the shelves was suddenly very popular.
That's right.
My friend had that copy as well. Yeah,
he had the version where you could get health back by having sex with the prostitutes in your car, and then they took it off the market, they re-released it, you couldn't do that anymore. And yes, suddenly there were those versions were the ones that were incredibly valuable.
In 2002, the following year, Rockstar released Grand Theft Auto Vice City, which was a follow-up set in a kind of Miami-inspired location in the 80s. This game was especially notable for its fantastic soundtrack.
Yes.
Yeah, going back to the 1980s was a very good idea. Having that sort of slightly exotic, like not too far in the past, but still far enough to be a bit nostalgic setting, really enriched it a lot. It was the one thing that I really liked about Vice City, even though it's not my favorite game in the series. I would play it just to listen to the music.
Vice City was also where they really started getting their cinematic ideals into the whole storytelling. So this had Ray Liotta voicing the main character, which was also kind of a first for the series. It was very, very directed. You were definitely playing through this one character's entire arc as a criminal, and I think you can see the impact that that has had on the rest of the industry. You know, every open world game is basically just doing what they did here. I think each GTA since then has just been recreating Vice City in that way as well.
Yeah, it was a big change, because the previous games had just had these sort of blanks at the center, these mute characters where you would fill in the blanks yourself. But Tommy Vercetti in Vice City was enough of a personality to have his own character arc and sort of create the beginning of that weird disconnect that would carry on through the series, where you can do whatever you want, but you find yourself thinking, would Tommy do this though? And that feeling of ultimate freedom that you had in the first few games, you sort of, it started to feel a bit weird.
Yep. I think that Tommy probably would have done any of those things because he was a maniac.
But I would play Vice City to drive around on the scooter delivering pizzas.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay. Yeah, yeah. No,
that
fair
was
enough.
Fun.
Yeah, that was a really great thing to do.
But Tommy wouldn't do it.
All right, let's move along now to 2004 for Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. Now, this was the last Grand Theft Auto game for the PlayStation 2. And it was set in a fictional version of Los Angeles, which was called Los Santos. It also featured San Francisco and Las Vegas, their fictional counterparts in the game, as well as a large desert in the middle.
Yep.
And it had a very 90s LA gangs feel to it, obviously inspired by films like Boys in the Hood. Mm-hmm. And your character, CJ, was in the middle of this huge gang war.
Yeah, this was actually, I think, my favorite game in the series. It was just so big and so weird, and it had a lot of ways that you could really customize your character. And there was just, like, so many little distractions that you could engage in as well. Even just the fact that if you ate too much chicken, your character got really, really fat and then had difficulty leaping fences. It was just, what a wonderful detail.
Yeah, it was so awesome. And I really enjoyed those RPG elements that they introduced. I mean, you could increase your driving, flying skills. You could work out to get muscly or, like Lee said, eat chicken and get fat. And it really, that depth provided such a longevity to that game for me. And I felt like CJ, obviously he's his own character and he's nothing like me, but I felt like he was my CJ.
Yeah.
And you could deck him out in any clothes you liked, and
any haircut you liked.
Yeah, well, you know, I think a lot of people were rocking the Mr. T look for a while.
Yeah.
Because that was available, the mohawk and the beard, yeah.
Yeah, I really liked CJ as a character as well. It was definitely a case, though, where CJ was the first, you know, character in the series who wasn't a complete misanthrope. So you did, when I was playing, I found myself trying not to be such a, you know, psychopath, just going up on the curb because it's easier, that sort of stuff. And I think that's sort of where a lot of people do start to, I guess, disconnect from the series. Jody, what did you think of San Andreas?
The first third of San Andreas, when you're actually in Los Santos, is excellent when you're doing that Boys in the Hood gang warfare thing and you're like taking back the city block by block. But once you leave Los Santos, I did lose interest in it. Once you wind up exploring the larger setting and those other cities, it stops being quite so tightly focused on recreating that one thing and becomes more of a generic Grand Theft Auto, like the formula that they'd created in Vice City. They sort of fell back into it, and I did lose interest. Also, flying, I hated the flying. I hated flying so much. And you're forced into, like, you have to buy an airfield and learn to fly a plane through those goddamn hoops for so long.
Oh, my God, yeah, I remember that. I had blocked that out.
Yeah, that was
painful. That was pretty tough. But I've got to say, on the most part, I freaking loved that game.
Up until that point, I loved it.
Yeah, just so incredible. And I never had a game that was attempting this sort of scope before.
Yeah.
And it was definitely like a killer app for the PS2. I can guarantee you, you knew someone who had a PS2 back then, they had San Andreas like already in the disk drive, ready to go.
When it was on the 360 as well. I played on the 360.
Yeah.
It was across the board. Everybody liked it.
Listening to Zed Games, if you're just joining us, we're talking all about the Grand Theft Auto series, the impact it's had on the gaming landscape, and as well as the impact that it's had on us individually. We're up to Grand Theft Auto 4, which didn't come out all that long ago.
2008.
Yeah, 2008. So you probably remember it. And it had a very cinematic vibe, didn't it? Mm-hmm. The story was front and center in this one, and a lot of the wackiness that had appeared in the early games was missing.
I don't think it was missing. It was just sort of that the main storyline was one that was so, I think, primarily sad, and one based on regret and redemption, which is a really difficult thing to do in a game that is still based around the fact that you can drive in any car and steal, you know, anything from anyone on the street and then plow down a bunch of people in a park. There was a massive, massive disconnect between the narrative and then what you could do in between that, but I didn't mind it because I really, really liked Nico. I thought that he was a great, great character for video games to have.
Yep. I really enjoyed it simply because of the fact that it was a Grand Theft Auto game with really cool graphics and like blowing stuff up just was never that fun. You know, it was really cool. Like when you exploded a helicopter with an RPG, you felt the impact, and that was something that was missing from the previous games just because of technical limitations, I guess.
This is one that I didn't get to play all the way through it, but I've noticed this is the game that I started learning how to be running and ducking for cover and shooting and things at the same time. That was kind of the first game that I remember where I was actively doing that and learning that. That's something I picked up from this one anyway, was my shooting skills. Still not the best. And I play this one now and I'm like, man, I feel like I've learned nothing. But and I felt like I spent a lot of time enjoying the scenery in this one as well. It was the first game that I sat down and I was happy whether I was playing or somebody else was playing. I was just happy watching as well because I just wanted to look at things and drive around and go off and do side missions and And it's the first time I realised I was enjoying all the extra bits so, as much as playing through an actual storyline. And I hadn't come across that in a game before.
Yeah. It was interesting because it was the first significant open world game that was released for this current generation of consoles. I think the only thing that had come out that was close to it was Crackdown on the Xbox 360. Otherwise, there was nothing, and people were kind of excited to see what Rockstar were really able to do with the new technology. And when it came out, it was quite a revelation. There was a lot of physics-based animation and some really excellent environmental destruction stuff going on there. So there's a lot of technology jammed into that they then carried over into their later releases.
Yep. Well, that pretty much wraps up all of the core games in the series. There are a few other games like the expansions for GTA 4, the portable ones, Chinatown Wars for the DS, but we don't really have time to go into those, but they're all pretty good.
Every game in this series is pretty much worth playing.
Yeah, I'd say that. Cool, well, that wraps up this episode of Zed Games. Guys, as usual, thank you very much for joining us. We'll catch you next week.
Tune into Zed Games next week to hear the full review of Grand Theft Auto V.
I got my me said, you just been busted.